Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Big story in Syria. Two strong explosions ripping through the Syrian capital of Damascus, killing more than 50 people, seriously damaging a military intelligence building. Close to 400 people, it's estimated, have been injured. It happened during rush hour in Damascus and comes a day after United Nations monitors were targeted in a convoy in a similar explosion yesterday. Joining us now is Ahmed Fawzi, who's spokesman for Kofi Annan, who's the Arab League and United Nations Special Envoy on Syria. Kofi Annan, of course, brokering what we call, I would say generously, a ceasefire in Syria. Not much evidence of that this morning. Ahmed Fawzi, your reaction to the bombing in Damascus?
Thank you. First of all, let me say that Kofi Annan condemned in the strongest possible terms the bombings that took place earlier today, that we're all saddened by the loss of life and extend our condolences to the families of all the victims. The other point I'd like to make is you used the word targeted about the bomb yesterday that was in the vicinity of a UN convoy. We're not absolutely certain that it was the UN convoy that was targeted. The way we described it was that a bomb exploded in the vicinity of a UN convoy as it entered the city of Daraa, and we passed a military checkpoint. So it hasn't really, it's being investigated, and it hasn't really been concluded that the UN convoy was targeted.
Although, is that a bit of, Ahmed Fawzi, is that a bit of positive spin on what seems to be a complete breakdown in both Damascus and in cities around Syria in the midst of your ceasefire?
I don't do spin, and I dislike the word. What I'm telling you is how we see events, and I'm as close to the truth as anyone can get. I repeat, we don't know that we had been targeted. So let's move on from
okay.
There, shall
all
we?
Right, let's focus on the truth then. Is it a true statement that there's a ceasefire in Syria right now?
A ceasefire was declared on the 12th of April. It is obvious to all that all parties are not respecting the ceasefire, and this is very worrying to everybody, not least the people of Syria themselves who are suffering. And we have called time and time again on all parties, especially the government, to cease all forms of violence and to get the political process going. And that is what we will continue to do until such time as we get the parties to the table.
Is it your impression, Ahmed Fawzi, that the opposition in Syria is holding territory and that you need to negotiate separately with the opposition to get access to areas in, say, Homs versus areas in Damascus where the government is in control?
I wouldn't say holding territory. They are present in various places, and our people have visited them. In every city they go to, Daraa, Homs, Idlib, they meet the officials, the governor, the Syrian army, and then they go over to where we know the opposition are and the Free Syrian Army are, and we talk to them as well. And with both sides, we appeal to them to cease all forms of violence. And as General Mood himself said, where our observers go, they have a calming influence. Of course, today is a terrible example of attacks, senseless attacks, taking innocent civilian lives, and we are shocked and outraged at this kind of attack that can only derail the process.
Well, when will the process be derailed? There was an expectation on the part of Kofi Annan that there would be a second step, that peace monitors would then result or pave the way for some sort of humanitarian attempt to develop a reformed civic institution inside Syria, which they've had elections, but there doesn't seem to be much reform going on.
No. the elections were really outside the context of the reforms and the political transition that Kofi Annan envisages in the country. But you ask me, when will the plan be derailed? Well, we hope the plan will not be derailed. We said it before, we shall go on with the task of pushing for implementation of the plan, all 6 points of the plan. It's not just the military aspects of the plan, but as you quite rightly mentioned, the humanitarian. Our humanitarian colleagues need access to people in need, the release of detainees, the access for journalists, and I see there are more foreign journalists now reporting from Syria, freedom of assembly. All 6 points of the plan need to be implemented simultaneously. And we will continue to push for this, violence or no violence.
We're talking with Ahmed Fawzi, who's spokesman for the UN and Arab League Special Envoy on Syria, Kofi Annan. What, sir, is your message for the Syrian people this morning as there are 50 people killed in a pair of bombings? Yes, you've condemned the bombings, but is help on the way in any sense?
I know that Kofi Annan's message is the deepest sympathy to start with. Secondly, fortitude and courage. In the face of these barbaric attacks, and we do not know the source of these attacks, by the way. Nobody has claimed responsibility yet, and they should be investigated so that people who do this sort of thing can be held accountable. The other message is that we encourage the political process to begin, because it is only through negotiation and a political transition that will meet the concerns and aspirations of the Syrian people that we can stop the bloodshed.
Indeed. All right. You referred to General Mood saying a moment ago that everywhere your monitors go, it causes tranquility to develop in neighborhoods. Isn't that an argument for ramping up the number of monitors in Syria?
Yes, the numbers will increase up to 300, which is mandated by the Security Council. If the international community represented by the Security Council feel that they need to send more monitors on the ground, they will certainly do so. At the moment, we have close to 100, and we hope that we will have the full contingent of 300 very, very soon. They are deploying on a daily basis. So we have eyes and ears on the ground in many cities, and we have permanent observers in at least four or five cities at the moment.
All right, Ahmed Fawzi, thanks so much for that update.
Thank you for giving us the opportunity to explain how this process is developing.
Indeed. Ahmed Fawzi, spokesman for the United Nations and Arab League Special Envoy on Syria, Kofi Annan. Apparently, a coordinated pair of bombings in the Syrian capital of Damascus rocked that city, killing more than 50 people at a military intelligence facility, wounding close to 400 more. Joining us now from Damascus, Laura Lynch, correspondent for PRI's The World, produced by our partner at WGBH in Boston. Laura Lynch, the mood of the city of Damascus, which is, you pointed out on this program yesterday, has been fairly removed from the violence.
I think that's changed today, John, it's especially in the neighborhood where the bombing took place. I was down there just a little while ago, and the people there are angry and they're scared. And some of them had come from outside of the city into Damascus from other areas such as Homs because they thought they'd be in a safer place. And then they find themselves in the middle of the same kind of violence they had been trying to escape. For them, this is their worst nightmare. And for a lot of people here in Damascus, it is as well. It's not the first bomb that has exploded in this city over the last several weeks. There have been others, but not one that has been nearly this big, nor, as you say, seemingly coordinated so that there was one blast and then a second one.
All right. On the question of the bombing itself, we don't know who's claimed responsibility. There's no real credible source of this explosion. We talked with an opposition member who suggested that the government had done this itself, destroying its own intelligence facility. Why is there no claim of responsibility, and what are we waiting for?
There haven't been there have not been claims of responsibility for the past bombings either. And so that's why you start to hear this double narrative from people saying, oh, no, it's the fault of the terrorists, they say, and the terrorists are being brought in by foreign powers, Arab states that are backing the opposition, or the United States. It's their fault. That's why this is happening. And then, as you say, from the opposition group saying, no, this is the government that is trying to discredit us and make us look bad, and they'll do anything to do that. None of that is helping to try to bridge any differences between these two groups, which is what the UN is supposed to be here doing. And the head of the UN mission went down to the site today, again, trying to urge people not to resort to these kinds of violent measures. But so far, he doesn't appear to be having his words heeded by anyone.
Well, we spoke to Ahmed Fawzi, who is the UN spokesman for Kofi Annan, who brokered that so-called ceasefire. He had this to say about the UN monitors in Damascus. Listen.
If the international community represented by the Security Council feel that they need to send more monitors on the ground, they will certainly do so. At the moment, we have close to 100, and we hope that we will have the full contingent of 300 very, very soon. They are deploying on a daily basis.
Laura Lynch, is more monitors the answer? Ahmed Fawzi said that wherever they go, there is relative calm. Are you seeing that?
I mean, more monitors, yeah, sure, they'll help in certain areas, and they have tended to reduce the level of violence, but I don't even think 300 is enough to cover a country of this size with all of the different flashpoints and hotspots. And it's difficult to know that if any UN observer could do anything to, if these are IEDs and they're becoming more practically used around different parts of the country and in Damascus, I'm not sure how much the UN could do to prevent those things from happening. But as everyone says, the UN is at least here trying to make a difference. And for some people, they say it is the last best chance, as we said yesterday, to stop this country from sliding into civil war.
Damascus looking more like Baghdad this morning. Laura Lynch, correspondent for PRI's The World in Damascus. Thanks so much, Laura.